The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Hey everybody, welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. Head to Wintrust.com/Cubs for more information. I'm Tony Andracki here with Kelly Kroll, and before we send you out to an Albert Almora Jr. interview with Kelly from Wrigley Field ahead of the final game against the Cleveland Indians here at Wrigley, Kelly, let's actually break down this brief two-game series. It was the World Series kind of games 3, 4, 5 rematch here. Things pretty much went very similar to the way they did for the first two games here in the World Series, meaning it was all Indians and not Cubs.
Yeah, is it time to go back to Cleveland now and bring
Yes, it is. Exactly.
DH and yeah, all that stuff. I mean, I don't want more rain, but I'll take it if it means, it wasn't really, it wasn't very pretty the last two games. Now, Trevor Bauer, as John Lester said, following his outing, you know, one of the better pitchers in the game. And so you knew that was going to be a tougher one on the hitters. But then I think this second game was the one that really is frustrating, being no hit by a guy making his second start in the big leagues. And I think there in the seventh inning, you felt like something was coming. And then to know Madden told Javi to bunt, and it just didn't work out. It was tough to watch, especially I thought you made a good observation in that an outing from John Lester that was really good, this team wasted in a sense. And I think they'll look back, and this will be one of those games that should have gone the other way. And so I think that's frustrating. And you even heard Kyle Schwarber say, yeah, it is, but that this is how games go sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, any 1-0 loss will be frustrating, and more so than the 10-1 loss they had in game one. Sometimes that just happens. The Indians are a good team with a really good lineup. Cubs did not pitch well, but they did in game two. I mean, John Lester, 1 run in 7 innings. Then you got Carl Edwards Jr. and Brandon Morrow coming out, throwing lights out and striking out, I think, 4 guys between the two of them. Mm-hmm. You expect to win that game 95% of the time at least. And here the Cubs, you know, they basically had 2 scoring chances, and one of the scoring chances was John Lester up with the bases loaded and 2 outs after Plutko had walked 3 guys in that first inning. So, yeah, definitely, you know, not the day that anybody wanted to see, but I think the offense is really where everybody's getting concerned at this point. You know, it wasn't a great start for Chatwood, but they'll figure him out. Mike Montgomery had been really good for a while. But this offense is, I mean, they were awesome in Cincinnati. They started this series leading the National League in runs per game, slugging percentage, on base percentage, run differential, all these great categories. Here we are 2 games later, and things do not look as good.
No, it's weird, too, because we're sitting here tonight as we tape this podcast saying that the offense is something to be concerned about, but it was 2 days ago we were like, well, the offense we know will come around because these guys, who they are, it's the pitching that's more concerning. And I think what's just got to be just so frustrating is it's when they get the pitching, it's like the hitting's not there. And when they have the hitting, it doesn't matter what the pitching's doing because they put up 15 runs. And so you're sitting there thinking, when does it all come together, I guess? And that's what I'm still curious about myself. I mean, because we're sitting here, what is it, May 23rd? Mm-hmm. At what point do you start saying it's not early, really, anymore? It's almost June. And so you felt like this time last year, even though they got off to a little bit of a slower start, you began to see signs of positive things, right? And right now it's like these, well, how did Lester say it? They're spurts, but they're not putting anything together consistently long term. In other words, I'm not phrasing this right. Sorry, it's been a long day and night, but he's basically said we need guys to feel good and be good for a couple weeks. That's where I was trying to get that out. And that's what I'm still waiting to see. When does that happen?
Because and he said instead of just 3 to 5 days, because we've seen that 3 to 5 days. We saw it, you know, they had that five-game winning streak, but then it's like a 4 or 5-game losing streak happens. You know, they have a really good offensive stretch of games in Cincinnati for the most part, and now 2 games where they score 1 run in 18 innings. And it's not even against elite pitching. Like, yeah, they faced Andrew Miller. Yeah, they faced Cody Allen. But the Cleveland bullpen was horrible coming into this game. For like a 2-plus-week stretch, almost the whole month of May, the Indians' bullpen was god-awful. And then suddenly
they really get to the bullpen, if you think about it. I mean, they got to Andrew Miller because the Plutko kid went 7 innings and was good. So then they got to bring in Andrew Miller and then their closer. So the Cubs didn't really, I guess that's, I mean, something we could be talking about. I don't know that they drove up the pitch count on a young kid enough. I just really don't. And that's kind of bizarre from the way we had been seeing these guys hit in Cincinnati, like you mentioned. So, but I guess, again, I'm all for the positives and leaving on positives. I think that with a beat up and hurt Giants team coming into town, that this team really should be able to take advantage of a Memorial Day weekend, and then they fly out and face two more teams that they should be able to do some damage against as well. Am I right? Who's at Pittsburgh, which they've been playing decent, I suppose, but they've kind of been on a downturn recently. But so I think that they can get after Pittsburgh and then the Mets. So that's how I'm gonna say they finish May strong, and hopefully that leads into something in June that is sustainable.
Yeah, I mean, it was the Giants came to town. They only come to town once a year, but in 2015, that series, that four-game series that really made the Cubs, who they are. These guys, you know, when it was Castro was benched, Addison was moved to short, everything that happened in that August 2015. But you made a good point. We'll end on a positive note, and we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Kelly will have her interview with Albert Almora Jr. on his budding bromance with Manny Machado and what he does off the field.
Is the greater than sign for Almora and Machado or Harper and Bryant?
At this point, I think it's got to be Almora and Machado because more people are talking about it right now.
That's probably very true. It's hard. And right now, they want something to change with what they're seeing. And so what can you do for me now?
Yeah, Bryce isn't coming this year. We know that much.
We know that much, absolutely. And he also points to the one person in the organization who he said, without him, 2016 doesn't happen. Pretty interesting stuff. So definitely stay tuned and take a listen to that. It was a lot of fun to talk to Almora. He was very gracious with his time.
Are you an authentic Cubs fan? We want to hear from you every authentic fan night. We designate one winner as the fan of the game, which includes tickets to the game, meet and greets, plus an authentic game day experience. Enter for your chance to win at NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. Kelly Kroll alongside Albert Almora Jr. here in the dugout, who's still fixing the mic. Just a little bit. You good to go?
I'm good. I'm ready.
Well, as we look out across Wrigley right now, we finally have the weather we've been waiting on for about a month, right? This is what you Miami kids have been waiting on, right?
Oh my God, it's long overdue. Long overdue. I knew April's were going to be tough, but I didn't expect May and June, you know, the beginning of June to be tough like this. But no, it's been a lot of fun.
Okay, now I bring up Miami only because this has been a somewhat eventful week for you because your childhood buddy, Manny Machado, is over on the south side with Baltimore playing the White Sox. And you spent quite a bit of time answering questions about the thought of one day maybe getting to make this dream come true as children and play together. Let's just revisit that and your thoughts on the whole having it to answer these kinds of things in May. I mean, we're in July talking trade deadline. I mean, we're talking this in May.
Oh, I mean, I think it's pretty cool. You know, it's something that obviously we have to deal with within our profession, and it's that answering questions for you guys. And obviously it's a fun topic to talk about, obviously, David. But you know what? If I really just all the credit goes out to Manny. Man, honestly, if he wasn't the player he was, we wouldn't be having this conversation. It's a blessing for him, for so many teams to want him. And I know it's not just us or whatever the case may be, but man, he's a good player. And he's one of the best in the league. So I'm just happy to pick his brain whenever I can.
What is something about Manny, not as a baseball player, that you know that none of us know?
He loves kids. Kids. Yeah, he loves them. Ever growing up, you know, he has a, we both have big families, and he has a lot of little cousins and, you know, little nephews and stuff that are running around, and he was always, you know, picking them up, playing with them, and really family oriented person. And it was neat to see at such a young age how much he really loved kids.
Didn't you say one of them must have cut his hair recently? Is that
no? So I said that he has the same haircut as his 12-year-old nephew. So they said the same haircut. And I mentioned that today too. I go, hey, doesn't JJ have the same haircut? He goes, yep, we're both pimping. And that was those were his words, and I lost it just because that's Manny, man. He's so laid back, and it's awesome to be around.
And you mentioned that because you got to have lunch with him, none other than the Cheesecake Factory. So is that
where
Albert Amor Jr. likes to go when he has a chance to get lunch, is the Cheesecake Factory?
You know what?
This is surprising a bit to me.
We had lunch with Yonder and his family as well, and it's right next to their hotel. So, man, that's the spot that we chose, and it was it was a surprise to me, but it was a really, really neat day. It was really nice.
I bet. Well, tell me, let's move on a little bit.
Yeah, get away. Oh, I'm tired of Manny. Yeah.
Tired of Manny. We're tired of it. What is it that you do often like to do when you have that one off day a month, which is what it seems like late, right?
It's crazy. Just being a dad, Kelly, honestly, it's my biggest thing. Once when I'm not playing the game, it's how can I enjoy the most? Because I'm such a jealous person, and people might not know, and I'm so jealous. And
I don't believe this.
So jealous, and the relationship that my son has with my wife is unbelievable. And the first thing, if he's in a spot and I'm in his way and my wife is behind me and he's hurt for some reason, and I'm like, all right, come to me. No, he's gonna slide under my arms and go straight to his mom. And that's what happens, you know. I'm not with him most of the time. I'm here at the field and I'm working, I'm just trying to, every chance I get, just gotta be with him for a little bit.
You know, that's where the phrase like "Mama Cub" came from, though, right?
I mean,
they're a
absolutely.
Mama's boy.
Absolutely.
Like,
I know.
You can't get jealous of that. You can't take offense
to that.
I know.
And I remember growing up, you know, and when I was
who did you run to?
I was a mama's boy.
Okay, same deal. So.
And. But, you know, the relationship I have with my father now is, you know, it's like my best friend. So that's something I wish I could have and I hope to have with my son.
Is he at an age yet where he enjoys and understands watching daddy on television?
You know what?
Or recognizes daddy
actually,
up there?
Actually, I had this conversation this morning mm-hmm. with Manny, and I go, man, one of the coolest things that's ever happened in my life. Crystal was able to sit four rows deep, mm-hmm. And I was on deck, walking on deck, and she stood him up, and she was like, hey, look, that's dad. And I took my helmet off, and I was like, hey, and he gave me a big smile, and he waved, and I obviously doesn't know what's going on. He knows he's at a ballpark, but it's pretty neat. It was a great experience at that time, yeah.
And that, I have to, if you can describe it, has had to be an interesting adjustment and finding a balance for you, because a year ago, you were coming to the field and maybe, you know, you weren't thinking about the things going on at home as much and thinking about your son or, you know, I mean, what Crystal was doing that afternoon.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was just go to work.
Exactly.
And now there's so much more. And how have you been able to kind of find that balance? And I'm saying it was more than a year ago, but you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But it was a better transaction. It was easier. It's easier now just because no matter what day I have at the ballpark, if we win or lose, if I do well or I do bad, make an error or whatnot, I go home and he doesn't know. He doesn't know the difference.
Yeah.
So he just wants to have fun. He wants to play around. He wants to run around. And it really puts things into perspective. It really does. It's at the end of the day, this is a game. And, yeah, we get paid to do this game and we want to work and we want to be the best at this game. But at the end of the day, it's a lot of things that are important in life. And I'm lucky and blessed at an early age, like, you know, myself, that I can handle the difference. And obviously I'm a competitor, and it's hard to you know, when you go home to leave work at the work, but I'm getting better at it.
We all have a hard time with that. Now, you've mentioned now the word jealous and competitor. None of these words of which I think you find a very good balance to being a very kind-hearted and great teammate, but what is you know you want to be an everyday starter. So what has that been like through this process of knowing, you know, you've always been a great, probably the best player on every team you've been on?
Yeah, it's obviously it's been a challenge. It's been a challenge. That's something I've always had to learn as well. You grow up and your parents are like, put others before yourself. And it's really the same concept. I'm here for the team. I'm here for the guys. Whenever Joe decides that, you know, that today's the day I'm going to play, whatever the case may be, that's the day and I have a different routine for that day, and whatever the case may be, I'm here to work. I put my head down and I play hard, the game as hard as I can. And whenever I'm given the chance, I'm just trying to take advantage of it.
He pencils you in a lot more often, especially of late. Do you notice the difference of how you feel when you're out there more often, more consistent? I mean, guys say that, but then you've also got guys like Tommy La Stella, who he could play like once every month, right? And come out and go four for four.
It's unbelievable.
It's
an act and a talent of its own. But for myself, the difference that I see really is that I see the season going by a bit quicker.
Interesting.
Really, okay. It is, because last year it was a little bit, I would start more sporadic, so you're watching the game a lot more, and you're, it's, how do I explain it? You're not, I'm focused, obviously I'm focused on the game, but it's not, it's a different type of locked in when you're starting and when you're not starting.
Totally,
but so, I don't know, I just, since I'm playing a lot more this year, it's, days are kind of going by a lot quicker, and you know, and I looked up, I'm like, well, we're already in June almost, you know what I mean? And
thank goodness.
Right? but it's been different. This is my first year where I'm actually playing a lot more, and I'm having a lot of fun trying to help the team win, and man, it's been special.
For where you see your ceiling, how far along are you in where you consider yourself to one day end up at your very best? That wasn't supposed to be a tricky question.
No, it's not.
But I just started thinking about it when you said that, and I thought, man, I mean, here you are just very, really beginning of your ascension to your pro career.
Yeah.
And when you, only you know and believe
exactly
what your top ceiling is. So I'm curious where you think you are then on that, I guess, barometer.
I don't think there's a ceiling for me.
Great answer.
Yeah. It's on my arm. Don't tell me the sky's the limit when there's footprints on the moon. And it's kind of cheesy, but whatever. It's on my arm, yeah. But at the same time, it's what I believe in. There's nobody that's going to label me or put a stamp or keep me at a level. I think I'm the only one that's going to stop myself, and I'm not in no time gonna ready for that. I'm going to keep going, and that's all I can really control, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a goal of mine, and it's just be the best.
I love that. We kind of mentioned Tommy La Stella just off the cuff there.
Yeah.
Is he still the best prankster on the team? You got any other guys that are getting
not,
in on that?
He's not really a prankster. I think I consider Tommy obviously a leader, really. Really, I really do. And he's very mindful. He's mindful, and he's always trying to get ways to get the guys together. And it's really tough to explain the role that Tommy plays for me, but it's kind of like a big brother, really, even though I'm 2 feet taller than him. No, I'm just kidding.
So he's your big little brother.
Big little brother.
I got it. I just, because we're looking out here, what's the role that Tim Buss plays on this team?
He's
beyond the guy that's obviously working y'all out every day.
He, all right.
Is he a prankster?
Yeah, just himself
in a way.
But he pranks mostly himself. Yeah,
he just pranks himself.
Himself, but you know what? I consider Tim Buss. He is, in anatomy wise, he's the heart. He is the centerpiece of this team, and I don't care. Forget about Brian. Forget about Rizzo. Forget about players. He's the person that. And I feel like Tommy is trying to run, you know, him and Tommy together, it's really a lethal combo. But
lethal combo.
One of the nicest and one of the most caring persons on this organization is Tim Buss. And without him, I don't think 16 would have happened. Without him,
really?
I don't think all these playoff appearances would have happened. And I'm going beyond, you know, I'm saying that when anybody would come up and try to tell me different, and I'll have an argument, And I'm sure everybody will agree with me that that's the main guy right there.
I know, given where I get to sit now in this dugout, he is the probably loudest voice I hear on a daily basis. And something else I've noticed, but never got to before when there was that wall that sort of blocked me from seeing you guys before a game, is the choreography that goes into whether it's the hug or the handshake or how do you come up with the one that belongs to you and Kyle Schwarber, and then the one that belongs to you and Ian Happ, or the one that belongs to you and Rizzo. Where does that start? I mean, how do you get there? There's got to be some thought there that goes into
you
this,
know,
right?
It's not really thought. It's a lot of it's more just experiences that happen with us, like it's or just things that happen for us. Or sometimes I'm like, hey man, like Schwarber and I, like, we don't have a handshake. What are we doing? And then we kind of, we're like, oh yeah, we gotta make something, and we walk away, and then the next day we just do something, and we just like, or if something just comes natural to us, and it may look ridiculous, but I think we won't feel right if we don't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the balance, the routine, the habit. I get it. And is it the same with when you come together in the outfield? Whoever the three guys are that are in the outfield, like, who gets to be the one to say, hey, today we're gonna do this?
No, so we do the hand, and then this year I will take credit for that. One day I was like, I'm tired of this. Like, let's do something different. And I'm not saying what I'm doing is creative. Probably three other teams in this league do it, but I just do a little bow.
Little
ninja bow, and that was it, man. We're silent assassins out there.
I like it. I thought about if something I didn't know. Tell me if this is. I should have known this, but Glanville the other day brought up that if you're like switching innings and you guys are heading to the outfield and you happen to be on base, it needs to be an outfielder that brings you your glove and or whatever it is you need, not an infielder.
You know,
like,
it's
is that something you grew up doing in Little League too, and I just should have known this?
Kind of.
Okay.
But
all right.
No,
so now
honestly,
I feel really
honestly,
dumb. But
no,
I will say, Doug Glanville was like, I didn't know this. And I figure he picks up on everything.
No,
so.
Yeah. Outfielders usually take care of outfielders. But let's say Rizzo, I have to go pick up. Someone has to pick up Rizzo. And I want to give a message to Rizzo or say something to Rizzo.
Okay, yes.
I'll do that. And nothing's going to say it. No one's going to say, oh, he's an outfielder giving an infielder. Obviously, no. You're picking up your teammate no matter what. But if I want to say something to Rizzo or make a comment, I'll take him his glove or something.
You sound like you've had a message for Rizzo before.
Yeah, remember that when he was like yelling, respect me or whatever?
Yes.
I was the one that took his glove out and I gave him a little message and it was nice.
You don't care to share what that message
No,
was.
It's not. It's R-rated.
It's R-rated. Fair enough. Well, you have been so gracious with your time. The very last thing I just wanted to ask, because we'll get questions, what is the most bizarre or often question you will get from fans who step up and get to meet you at an event or don't, you know, often get to see you in the flesh?
Wow.
That you're
the question I get asked often, or, you know, a comment that I get, mm-hmm. you know, is obviously
your
tagging up to in the World Series. And, you know, like, oh, did you think about it? And I was, honestly, it's just something that just happens. And, I mean, I'm not a perfect base runner, as you know what happened last night. I got thrown out by 100 feet at second base, down by 10. But so, hey, I'm human.
You
but,
were being aggressive.
I was being, yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah.
But honestly, I'm an aggressive baseball player. And obviously, you gotta pick and choose your spots, but I guess that was a good spot in the World Series.
Yeah,
right?
Very good spot. And you just made me think of this. Can maybe fans or just viewers or people who are looking at the runners in scoring position and what this team sometimes doesn't always come through, and there's numbers like last night, but as a guy on the team, can that be like too much? Like, don't look at those numbers so much. I mean, you can't.
Don't we lead the league in
yes,
in
you
runs,
do, which so. Is why. But people still want to worry about it. So I guess my thought is, like, is it worth worrying about at times or not?
No, you know, I don't think so, just because. But I respect the people that worry, and I know why they're doing it, because we're the Cubs, and they expect us, you know, to dominate. And mm-hmm. I get it. And that's one of the reasons, you know, that's a big stat in this game that determines if you're dominating or not, if you're getting guys in. And we're not at to the level that we know we can, but we're still playing really good baseball.
Okay, so now tell everyone at home who's listening to this when you will rip off 15 in a row with wins, because we're just all waiting for that again.
You know what?
This, we know. From,
this
we heard
league,
it here first.
This league is is getting better and better every year, and the teams, they respect us and they're coming at us with their best game. So it may happen, it may not, but I'm not really worried about the regular season. I'm worried about closing off the season strong with a playoff spot and then take care of business in the playoffs.
We like it. We like the sounds of that. Albert Elmore Jr., thank you so much for
your
time.
Appreciate
it. Was a pleasure chatting with you. We're going to head to break. Thank you guys for listening to Cubs Talk Podcast presented by WinTrust. I'm Kelly Kroll.